Well, why don't we just bow our heads? Father, we thank you so very much for your word. Father, may you make my mouth as the pen of a ready writer, writing on the hearts of men, women, children tonight, helping us to display your word in our lives, helping us to walk in it and be a reference of your word in our everyday life, around everybody that we meet and come in contact with, in our homes, in our church, in our departments, everyone we meet, Father, that you would help us, remind us to speak out of God's love within. And we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to talk tonight about what would love do. What would love do? And I woke up, it was 3 or 4 nights ago maybe, and that came in my spirit. What would love do? I want to read something to you. Before I read that, I want to apologize for something. I had said something the other night that I went home and I said to Pastor Jay, I said, you know, we're teaching on marriage and walking in love, and I don't think I walked in love in what I said. And what I said was we need to address the leadership team about their attitudes about, you know, not running everybody off. I'm like, well, they don't run everybody off. I shouldn't have said it that way. So I want to apologize, okay? Because, you know, really, in all honesty, we have a wonderful leadership team. So I don't want to put them in bad light. And frankly, I didn't mean to do that, but I did. So I apologize. And we have a loving church, you know, and we address things as we need to, because in a family you have to address things. But, you know, I've told my staff, don't generalize. In other words, don't say, well, you know, they always do this. Well, no, maybe this area we need to teach them to tweak it in, or this or that, but, you know, just don't, you know. They have a lot of good qualities, amen. You know, and I'm talking about myself too. We shouldn't generalize. So we work with that. So anyway, our leadership does not run everybody off with bad attitudes. I just wanted to get that clear with you. And we've run a few people off, but you know, we're tweaking it, right? I tell you what, a lot of people have come to the church because they've been blessed by people shaking their hand and loving on them. And so I think what I was trying to say is we just need to address watching our attitudes so people don't take us wrong. And then they leave the church without having an opportunity to really learn who we are. And so, and we, like we tell people in the daycare, don't bring your bad attitudes, you know, to the daycare. And that doesn't mean that they have a bad attitude every day and they're running everybody off, okay? So I think you understand what I'm trying to say. I want to read something, an excerpt from Walking in Love by A.B. Simpson. Love is the loveliest thing in this world and the thing that speaks most for God in your life. Everybody can understand it. They may not know much about your deep experiences. They may not appreciate your shouts of joy and praise, but they can all feel the weight and the value of your unselfish sacrifice and lovely acts. Amen? Amen. So sometimes we may think that it's our praise and our shouting and our dancing that's really reaching out to others. But in all honesty, we do that unto the Lord. We're not trying to dance and shout and, you know, praise. Well, I hope so-and-so sees me and sees my spirituality. You know, that's not why we do it. And you know that. But we shout because we're excited about the things of God. But how many know that our shout isn't worth much if that after church somebody comes up to us and just needs some encouragement and we don't have time for them? And they're thinking, well, you were shouting and praising God earlier. Now, I know because I is a woman, but you know, women, how many times will you listen more to your husband? Or we could do it the other way around. Husbands, how many times would you listen to your wife if you felt like they were acting on what they're learning at church? Well, Pastor Jay talked about walking in love. He talked about being kind and gentle. And then she came home and, you know, just slopped the dinner on, here, eat this. And what happened to that, all that kindness he was talking about the other night? So we may want to watch that. You think? Yeah. There are some things that I have in my heart to get across tonight that I really... Now, first of all, I want you to know, Pastor Jay laid the foundation on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if you weren't here, you really need to get... I mean, you really need to. And in order for this to be more of a blessing to you, you need to get those messages. And so he laid a foundation talking about the ideal love relationship. Now, they had to tweak a lot of things, but Abraham and Sarah, and referenced in the New Testament to, and we're supposed to look at their marriage, right? I don't know if y'all saw Pastor Nancy last night. I was watching her message, and she's talking about the great quest of faith, and she talked about Abraham and Sarah, and also back at the Holy Ghost meeting, she taught a service on that, and what a blessing it is, like Pastor Jay said on Sunday, that they had, you know, we see them, and they had to tweak things. They had to tweak things in their life, in their marriage, in their faith, in order to get to a place, you know, for 24 years, God had told Abram what to expect, but he wasn't speaking it, he wasn't using his faith. And what Pastor Jay brought out Sunday was their marriage had some issues. And they had to come together. How many know that a child comes out of a relationship together? And yes, it comes out of a sexual relationship, but it's a love relationship. And it affects their faith. And it wasn't until 24 years after God told Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham, and he started speaking that, but they had grown up in some areas. They'd grown up walking in love in some areas. Sarah started calling him Lord. In other words, she respected that the divine order was all the revelation and the leadership of the home isn't coming to me. It's coming through my husband. And, you know, if we're really listening, that will start welling up inside of you, and it'll start making sense. It's like, oh. And I've talked to Pastor Jay. Actually, was it yesterday, the day before? I was just talking to him about some things. I said, you know, in light of what you ministered on Sunday, of course, we've endeavored to live that way. But in light of what you ministered, I went back to a few instances. It's like, you know, I could have done this different. I could have done this different. And he just gave me a big hug. In other words, he was saying, yeah, you could have, yeah. but isn't it wonderful when we have the word on that? Now, I like what Pastor Nancy said. She said that during their marriage, Dr. Dufresne, she called him Ed, you know, during that time, she said he was very keen with the things of the Spirit. And he was very keen. And she came into the marriage as just a young girl. They had 20 years difference, but they knew it was God, and they got married. But he knew a lot more than she did about spiritual things and, you know, even natural things. But he was keen about, you know, buying the house and different things. And he was just very straightforward about, God's told me to do this. And she's like, okay. Because she learned that divine order was God's going to be dealing with him in these things, and basically it makes it a whole lot easier on me to just put my faith with him, and then if he needs me to do something, you know, I do it. Praise the Lord. Now, that's not something that ought to be a bondage for a woman. It actually ought to free you up in a lot of things. It's like, you know, I don't need to get all the revelation. For the, you know, because if the man's ahead and God works through him, well, praise the Lord, that takes a lot of work off me. Amen. But then on the other side of it, it's kind of like when we started the daycare. Pastor Jay had a vision for that because of what God told him. And he said, here, honey, you put it all together. So Katie and I met Katie was the first employee. And I guess I was too. And so we put it together. And he didn't really do a whole lot, but he used his faith. you know. And so anyway, and then there came a time and a place where we even told Katie and you know, Kimberly and those as it grew, okay, now you need to use your faith. And not that I don't speak over our daycare, but I constantly do. We have a supply. But I'm not the one that day-to-day ought to be speaking in every facet of that because I'm not actually working there. So that's been delegated. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That was all good. So we're talking about Dr. Dufresne was very keen in things. And Pastor Nancy said, now when he went to be with the Lord, she understood. In other words, she used to think it was just easy for him. He could just automatically just get things from God, and she didn't in that respect when it came to, you know, what houses to buy or when it came to things in leadership in the marriage. She said, now for the home, he taught her, really, honey, your domain is in the home. God's going to give you wisdom and understanding on you know, what color the couch is and all this type of stuff. Now, it doesn't mean that God didn't give Pastor Nancy other things. Now, she's called in the ministry. So obviously, Dr. Dufresne knew that. And he helped her. And called on her, and you know, we were around them for quite a few years. He helped her get what God had given her personally, you know, the gift in her. His gift wasn't her gift. He helped draw out of her the gift of God, but he was the lead of the ministry. He was the head of the marriage, because you got two heads, you got a freak. Okay, and that's just divine order. And if a man and woman are going to work together and they work in divine order, the man's not going to have a problem if the woman comes and say, hey, you know, sweetie, God's been dealing with me about this, but I just want to, you know, give this to you. And if, hey, you know, and that kind of takes pressure off me. It's like, well, between you and the Lord now. Okay, it seems like I've been getting this. But normally, if I start getting something, I try to wait for him to bring it up. But sometimes if I just keep getting it, I'll say, hey, it seems like, and he's like, yeah, that's right, or let me pray about it, okay? So it's not hard, and if we've entered into marriage right, then we're going to learn divine order, and it's not going to be, I'm not going to be afraid that my husband isn't going to listen to me. He's not going to be afraid that I'm going to usurp authority over him. Because we're working together. It's divine order. And we learn, we're going to look at these scriptures, it's submitting really one to another. But it is, the husband is supposed to be like Christ, and the woman is like the church. And she's supposed to reverence, you know, her husband. And then the husband is supposed to love the wife like Jesus does the church. So if we will stay in our scriptures and focus on that, then it will be divine order and it will be heaven on earth. Amen. And our love buckets will be full. Amen. But let's talk about what love would do. Now, first of all, the Greek word, well, and then let's go back to the story. I didn't finish it. Pastor Nancy said she just started getting a download after Dr. Dufresne went to heaven. She started getting a download. Oh, that's how he got that. In other words, she was the head of the ministry now. She's the head of the marriage now. You understand? If you're not married, you're the head. I mean, that's the bottom line. And God's going to give you a download of what you're supposed to do in life. You're not supposed to call your friend and say, hey, what am I supposed to do? You're not supposed to call another man and say, hey, what? No, I'm just talking about in the marriage in general. You can't have two heads. Somebody got to be in charge. But let's all walk in love and help one another so the woman doesn't feel like she got the thumb on her, you know, and the man doesn't, you know, he doesn't feel like, well, this woman, you know, it says don't be bitter against her. That means don't be exasperated. You know, in other words, men, don't go to God and say, what, why'd you give me this woman? God doesn't want to hear that. Because he's saying if you're treating her like I treat the church, she wouldn't be that way. But you might have to take some time to train her, okay, and work with her. And if you got married and you weren't saved, well, that's the problem. So that's a whole nother thing, and we'll talk about that. But ideally, Abraham and Sarah following their example. Amen? Praise the Lord. And, hey, let's look at this. They weren't saved. Okay, Adam had lost the love of God. So that was an interim time where they weren't saved. So how much more? How much more when we have the love of God inside? They tweak things. I mean, make fun of them. It took 24 years. But how many? Some of us, it's taken a while. Well, moving right along. I won't stay there. Maybe that wouldn't be love, okay? The Greek word for love is agape. And it means yielding to brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. Or, you know, God's willful direction toward man. Now let's look at that a little bit. Walking in this God kind of love differs from phileo love. We'll talk about that willful direction toward man, okay? It differs from phileo love, which is a human love, which means an emotional type of love indicating feelings, warm affection, or the kind of love expressed by a kiss. In other words, I'm just feeling all warm and fuzzy, so I love you. You've heard it said, a mother's love is like God's love, or akin to God's love. It's really not. It's a selfish love. My child, it's a selfish love. See, God's love loved because that's who he is. And when we realize that's who we are, in other words, the love, the God kind of love inside of us, and when we realize why that love is motivated, because God directed his love toward us in that he gave his son. And when we remember why God gave his love and the fact that God is love lives inside of us, so we walk in love. And then we're going to talk about how it's a reflex reaction. It's a choice, but it's something that we become skilled at. Now, when we're looking back at the human kind of love, we're looking back into the past. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's right. We'll go over some of the scriptures that bring this out. When we look at, when we yield to anger, for instance, or when we yield to selfishness, we're looking back to the things of our past, how we were raised, what some of the fleshly, carnal things. We're looking at, this is my checkbook. This is my car. This is my clothes. This is my stuff. And if we can understand that when we look at how God loved us, God is love, and really the divine nature of God, or you could say this, Pastor Nancy said, God's love, God is the essence of love. And I looked that up. What does that mean? The essence. Essence means it's the signature material. And everything comes out of that. So the love, and when we talk about this, the anointing, the love, it just, it'll get weighty in here. Because when I was reading and listening, many times I just came to tears. I'm not trying to be weird. But that's what God's love is. It brings us to tears to realize Jesus gave his life. He gave his all. Why? Because God is love. He had no problem giving his son. He knew that he was planting a seed and he would reap the harvest. And that's what love does. And love has no fear in giving because it knows that it will reap the harvest. So in a marriage, love has no fear laying down anger, taking up kindness. In a marriage, love, in other words, if we start doing away with the anger, and you have to do it by faith, you read the word where it says, be angry and sin not, and you realize, okay, I've been yielding to this for a lot of years, I got to lay it down by faith, and then what I do is out of my mouth, I start speaking love. The feelings aren't going to be there yet. I just want to let you know. As a matter of fact, there are times you are going to feel so hot that you're going to have to probably walk out of the room. You're going to have to pray in tongues. Get in the word. Start reading love scripture. Spouse, give your spouse time. If you're just putting your thumb on him in the middle of it and say, just walk in love right now. How do you think they're going to react to that? Ain't going to help nobody. So give them some time. There are times when in the heat of the moment, we just want it. We, you know, most women, excuse me, we want it fixed now. We want to talk about it and we want you to change now. Because it's his fault and not my fault, right? But when you get in the word along that line, now, Pastor Jay and I have taught ourselves, we've actually, yes, we argue here and there, okay? We've done much better. But we've actually been in the heat of the moment before and had to catch ourselves, wipe our tears away and say, okay, that's not love. That's not love. And then we started yielding to love, and all of a sudden it all changed. And it only took a few minutes. Now, if we would have kept going the heated route, nothing would have been accomplished. But I'm saying it took us a lot of years to get to that place, and I'm trying to help you. You know, husbands, let your wives go in the other room and deal with it between her and God. Husbands, you know, wives, let your husbands. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, 5 weeks, okay? I'm not talking about sweeping it under the carpet and then never dealing with it, okay? All right, well, praise the Lord. That's all good. But anyway, so God's love is unconditional. It's based on I love them because I am love. God's love is not based on who he is. Well, it's based on who he is, okay? When we love with God's love, we love unconditionally based on God's love within coming out. We love because we are products of love. Yeah. I want you to really look at this and decide, I can let go of my past. I can let go of being heated, yielding to anger, being selfish. I can let go of it. God, work with this child. Don't give up on me. He won't. Love never fails. It's us that fails God, not him that fails us. Okay, he will never give up on you. He sees you completed, all right? He sees you fully walking in love. He knows what you can do. So if you come to him and say, you know, I can't walk in love with this woman, he knows that. Hey, I put love in you. I gave you all the tools you need. So, You're talking down the wrong stream. Talking to the wrong person. I gave you everything you needed. All right. He gave us the divine nature, which is love, and all the tools are in that love. The peace, the joy, the kindness, the faithfulness. It's all in that love. You want to be more faithful? In life, in marriage, at your job? I know, Lord. I've been late for the last 5 years. I know. It's not hard to start yielding to love. What would love do? Love starts thinking, you know what? When I'm late, then so-and-so has to do more. And start looking at your actions, how they affect other people. And then purpose in your heart, you know what? I want to get there earlier than everyone, so I just be a blessing. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to compare anyone. I'm just that's what the word says. And we all can learn from this. Out of the divine nature of God, and real quickly here, let's go to 2 Peter. That be all right? Yeah, 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Is this all right? Yes. Talking about the divine nature. All right. So we'll start in verse 1. Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. What are they talking about? with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Righteousness. Okay, when we see righteousness, we think of seek first the kingdom of God and all these things, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is righteousness? Well, it's being right. It's doing right things. And when you're doing right things, you are motivated by what?
Love.
Really, righteousness is being kind. Doing right. You know, seek first the kingdom of God, and his ways of doing things is what the Amplified says. What is God's way? Love. And out of that love comes all the tools you need to do what? To use love. All right? So, who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So basically, he's saying those of you who have received the Spirit of Christ inside of you. Those of you who have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All right. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus Christ. Now I want to read something here. Charles Capps said it this way. Grace and peace are multiplied. They're not added. And he said, if you have been given all things, there's just not any more he can give. See, some of us are living our life like we don't have enough. But we have more than enough. We have the ultimate. We have the preeminent. We have God's love inside of us. The only thing is, if we don't use faith with that love, and we know that our faith works by, or that word works means energize, it's moved by what?
Love.
It's energized. It's moved by the love of God. So we know faith comes out of love. We know love comes out of love. Our ability to love somebody, our ability to be kind, these are all expressions of love. The human spirit has all the tools that you need. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you can be right. You can be righteous, and that's what it's saying. Those of you who you've obtained like precious faith with us by their righteousness, in other words, by God's love within to make you right.
Yes, that's good.
You have everything you need. He gave you his divine nature of love, and out of that love character let me read this again. He gave you his divine nature of love, and out of that love character, you have all the tools to build or grow character in your life by faith that works through love.
Amen.
You have all the tools to build or grow character in your life by faith that works through love. Amen?
Amen.
So anyway, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Knowledge is just reading the word, getting the word, and then applying that word. And when you apply the word, you're actually using, if you want to be kind to somebody, and it says walk in kindness, that's part of walking in the Spirit, then you just walk up to somebody and say, how are you today, Brianna?
Good.
I'm well, thank you. Praise the Lord. You know what? You're such a blessing to me. You really are. You both are such a blessing to me. What am I doing there? I'm using my kindness. Now, if that's not from the knowledge of God's word, it's just from human love, it's going to fade. Or it's going to come to a place where I run out. How are you today, Brianna? I need to talk to you about something. Remember last week?
Can you refresh my memory?
You know?
Oh, okay. Yes,
when you talked to me that way? Remember? Yeah, it didn't really happen that way. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm having a hard time getting over that. I love you, though. Love you. Love you, girl. Love you. Yeah, but work on that, all right? Work on it. Let me read you something. Pastor Nancy's book, Love, The Great Quest. To address this divine topic justly, I will write of love and the different directions it flows. One, God's love for us. Two, our love for God. Love in us. And our love for others. To correctly understand love, we must first realize that there are two kinds of love. They are on polar opposite ends of the spectrum. One fails, the other succeeds. The reason people fail, the reason people eventually leave church because they just can't take it anymore, because their flesh is screaming,
yeah.
I am just through with this love stuff. I am through with Helps ministry. I'm through with all this. Just can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to be free to be carnal.
Come on.
What do you think that is?
Yeah. Seriously.
Polar opposite of God's love.
Yeah.
Because God's love says, you know what? I could never. You know, God told me to go to that church.
Yeah.
Now, this is an advertisement for the church. You understand? I'm just teaching the word.
Yes.
You understand? But any person in marriage, for instance, I would never leave this marriage. You have to have that attitude. I would never leave that because God's word says love never fails. And I believe in this woman. I believe in this man. I would never leave it. I wouldn't do it. Why? Because that would not be walking in love with them. I would be leaving them. I would be exposing them. They'd be by themselves. I mean, there's 1,000 things. There's reasons why you don't leave a marriage. There's reasons why you don't leave your family in a church. There's reasons why I don't leave my mom and my dad and my brothers and my sisters. I don't divorce them. I just don't do it. My mom knows she can count on me until the day she goes to be with Jesus. My mom knows that if she needs help, I'm going to help her, or I'm going to find help for her, because she knows I'm a love person.
Amen.
Of a love God.
Amen.
And I would never say, Mom, I just, you know, I'm through with this relationship. I have other things to do in life. I mean, I don't even talk that. I wouldn't even think that. Why would I think that marriage? Why would I think about that? You know, people come to us and they say, you know, God's led me to go to another church. Well, I guess he didn't tell me that. But, you know, and I'm not offended. Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. He's let me. In other words, they so easily, I mean, they've been here for years. Why would they leave? They're giving into human love. They're not looking at what their leaving would do. First of all, if God told you to go someplace, your leaving isn't walking in love with him. Your leaving isn't walking in love with yourself, because you need to be here to get the word. Your leaving isn't walking in love with the person that normally sits next to you, because when they don't see you anymore, they wonder why. You understand? There's 1,000 things. So when we can just start looking at things in the way of, look, I'm not going to leave. I mean, I've had to tell myself that as far as my relationship with my spiritual parents, I'm not going to leave them. No, it is never an option. Now, like Dr. Hagen says, if you're going to some church that, you know, teaches against the healing message and so on and so forth, well, love is to take your family someplace where they're going to get the word. You understand?
Yes.
All right. But at the same time, we're not sheep thieves. So when people come, they visit our church, we tell, and they say, hey, we want to start coming to church here. Well, have you talked to your pastor about that? We're not sheep thieves. They need you. They need you in their Helps ministry department. They need your tithes and offerings. Well, it's not all about money. They need you. They need you. So there's a human love that is natural in origin. Then there's a God love that's spiritual. All right. So this is the love, the human love is the love that every human being operates in from birth. This is a love based. See, that's why we're talking about, we got to get away from our past.
Yeah.
We got to stop living in the old man, is what I'm trying to say. We grew up in many times learning bad habits. And we've got to learn how to lay those habits down by faith, because you're supposed to lay anger down and you're supposed to put on the new man. What does that mean? Put on love. Be kind. You're not going to feel like it. You're going to feel angry because that's what you're used to yielding to. But feelings will leave. Just walk in love. Just be kind. And, you know, you can be seething. It's like, I don't want to do this. But I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. What about what they did? I don't care. I love you. Love doesn't remember somebody that did them wrong. Now, love, if you want to grow in a relationship, we'll talk about that. We'll talk and say, God, give me wisdom to talk to them because I want my relationship to grow with them and this is hindering us. So love will talk to them, say, hey, about last week, I just want to talk to you about that. And love will do it in a way as of, did I do something? You know, is there something? Love will put itself on the line to open up the conversation. And then love doesn't end that conversation until it's said, I'm sorry, or it's received an apology. Okay? And if the other person chooses not to apologize, it will affect the relationship, but you go your way saying, all is forgiven. But if somebody will refuse to apologize, you are going to have to think twice about whether or not to have steady relationship with that person again. Okay? You understand that? Because you don't want to open yourself up to atmospheres where people are yielding to the wrong thing. All right? Now, that doesn't give you an out with marriage. All right? I'm just talking about relationships in general. You're going to have to guard yourself. But if you notice something... not everybody's perfect in this church. I just wanted to, if you didn't know that. And Pastor Jay and I aren't perfect. I'm getting someplace. Tell your neighbor she's getting someplace. I just keep going this way because you keep pulling on me. No. But anyway, what was I saying? Do you remember? Yeah, guard yourself. Yeah, nobody's perfect. Pastor Jay and I aren't perfect, but we're striving toward it. Everybody's at different levels. Now, Pastor Jay and I, we never will allow actions people have taken or how they treat their helps ministry or something like that. I will love them irregardless. I've taught our staff. I tell our leadership. I mean, act like nothing happened. That doesn't mean that we don't address things, because we do, but it's behind the scenes. We address it, but when I'm in church, I'm not thinking about it. And when I'm at home, I'm not thinking about it. Unless the Lord deals with me, okay, you're going to have to address it again. And that's what marriage is. It really is. You just love that person. You're not thinking about yesterday. They're forgiven. You're moving on. But then the Lord says, hey, this isn't taken care of. So then you have to talk about it. And if your spouse doesn't want to talk about it, then you're going to have to say, okay, Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm not looking to them. I wish they would have talked to me, but I'm looking to you, so you deal with them about it. That's just where you have to, that's what you have to do. But you understand that when you start cutting your spouse off, not talking to them, not yielding to forgiveness, that things start to build up on your end. And you can yield more to anger towards them. You can not be sensitive when the, you know, guys, you can, if you are starting to let things in and you're not going to your wife and apologizing, or if you notice, well, I'm just yielding to anger more, I'm talking negatively to them more, I'm, you know, that type of thing. And if your wife is walking in love, she's going to be praying for you. She's trying to talk with you about it, but, you know, if you won't talk with her, then she's going to look to God. But there will come a time and a place that sometimes the man or the woman will get to the place where they're dangerous to live with. You understand? And you don't want to get there. And God's not asking anybody to live in danger. He's not asking anybody to live in atmospheres that are dangerous for the wife and the child. So it's best that you get it right. And we will pray for our spouse. We will walk in love with our spouse. Remember that scripture in Colossians 3 that we love your husband in ways that honor the master. Love your husband in ways that honor the master. But I can't honor the master if my husband is asking me to watch an R-rated movie with him. I can't honor the master if my husband's telling me, no, you can't go to church. So there are some things there that although it's divine order and he's the head of the marriage, if that's not honoring the master, I'm going to have to, in love, say, I've got to follow God. Because if I don't follow God, then I can't be what you need. You understand? All right. Now, moving on here. But I just wanted to bring that out because Pastor Jay and I were talking about that the other day. That we counsel people over the years, and there's several scenarios. For instance, you know, one wife came to us and say, you know, so-and-so, you don't know who it is, so don't try to go there. My husband's saying we need to move away. And I'm like, okay. And she says, and he's telling me it's for the job. Didn't have anything to do about church, just for the job. And then I talked to Pastor Jay and got direction. But basically, I said, in your spirit, what is God saying to you here? Now, it's divine order to hear the man, but in your spirit, what's God saying? In my spirit, God's saying, I don't move for a job. In other words, I can't leave my local church. And then I said this to her. If he came to you and said, okay, I'm going to run off a cliff here. Can you run with me? I'm your husband. Now, come on. We're going off the cliff. Come on. Woo! Kaplat. Now, if that was Pastor Jay, he would have gave you all the... anyway. What I'm trying to say here is, yes, it is divine order to follow your husband, but when they're asking you to go over the cliff, what do you do? What if you have children? What's love? What would love do? Would love take them to Timbuktu where there's no church and let them grow up in that? Of course not. So although it's a divine order, and Pastor Jay and I have talked, and we've counseled people over the years, you don't let them take you off the cliff. What would love do? All right. So human love is flawed. And this is what Pastor Nancy said. But it is the only love flow available for the unsaved man to draw on. Human love is the outflow of a man without God. It is the flow of the spiritually dead man, one separated from God, and one whose nature is all wrong. He has a sin nature in him. Now, what's wrong with looking back at the past and operating out of the anger that you're used to, operating out of the selfishness, operating out of the perverseness, operating out of lust? What's wrong with that? That's all based on human love. The other kind of love is divine love. It's the God kind of love that, and this is Pastor Nancy again, the other kind of love is divine love. It is the God kind of love that found its entrance into the earth with Jesus. He introduced and walked in this new kind of love, making it available to every man who will receive it. Divine love is not based on man's flesh, feelings, or emotions, for it originates with God, not man. It is the essence of God himself. It is him and his flow. Remember, what does essence mean? It's the signature material. God is love, and everything comes out of love. So if you're going to yield to the God kind of love within, when you're kind to somebody, it comes as an expression of the God kind of love within. But it comes by knowledge of the word. It comes by meditating on that word. It comes by, it helps you to be more sensitive by praying in the Holy Ghost. There's reasons that you do that. Because what does Jude say there? Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And what's the other? What does that say? Keeping yourselves in the love of God. So there are things that will help us to yield to that love versus yield to that anger. So if I have to go in the other room, and I've had to do this over the years, believe me, then, and normally when we're talking, and if it starts to get a little heated, I'm not there. That doesn't normally work. Okay. And let me share something else with you. It says to win them without a word. That doesn't mean that you're coming quoting scriptures all day long. How are you doing, honey? Well, I think you're the head, not the tail. I think you're a woman of love. You're a woman of peace. Well, thanks. But let me show you. Let me tell you something. Your faith not working for her.
Yeah.
She got to do it.
Yeah. Come on.
So you don't need to be quoting scriptures over her all day long. In other words, she got to be quoting them, but it says without a word, so she's doing it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
She's not coming in the room, well, praise the Lord, you walk like God walks. You are a man of God. You are a man of peace. People do these things. They do these things. The person's already irritated at you. They don't want to pray with you. They don't want to pray with you. They don't want to read the word. That's the last thing they want to do. You've been quoting scriptures over them all day long. Can we watch John Wayne? Okay. Just saying. Win them without a word. Stop quoting the scriptures over them while they're there. Okay? What does that mean? Winning them without a word is acting, showing, expressing out of your heart without having to quote the word. You're quoting it behind the scenes. You're speaking it behind the scenes. Now you're doing it. So it's not coming to them and saying, Brianna, you are such a woman of God. You are the head and not the tail. No, you just come and say, hey, I just want to let you know I love you. Yeah. Just want to spend some time with you, you know. Praise the Lord. Okay? That's showing kindness without a word. So that kind of came to me. Too many people are confessing the word for others that they want to get it. When you need to be praying for them, you need to be praying for light and understanding behind the scenes, not in front of them. Well, Lord, help this man to be the man that he needs to be in this home. Yeah, that makes him feel real warm and fuzzy. All right. I'm just trying to help you. I told you about the minister. I love him, but you know, every now and then I'd sit by him in meetings, and he'd be praying in tongues most the entire service. I'm thinking, shut up. They're teaching the word. Yeah, it's not helping. Pastor Nancy got the message this afternoon. All right? I didn't say that because that's not love. Although I love the person. So we can do some really weird things in Christianity. Call it Christianity. God's saying, when and without a word. It's out of your heart. Out of the hidden person of the heart. Win them that way. How expressing love. And you can do it watching John Wayne. Yeah. You know, in marriage, you don't have to watch. It's good to watch services together. I mean, Pastor Jay and I talked. We like to listen to Dad Hagin together a lot. We like to, you know, of course, we watch our pastor, Pastor Nancy, and we get blessed. Then, of course, but most of the time, I'm listening by myself. You understand? Because when we have time to come together. Now, the other day, he came down, and I was making lunch. I was listening to Dad Hagin, then I turned it off because I noticed he was down. Why? Because I hadn't spent time with him that day. And he said, well, you can leave it on, honey. And I said, well, I haven't taken time with you. That's why I turned it off. And so we just talked and spent some time together. You understand? You understand that it's good to listen to the Word, but let's be honorable to our spouse. If you haven't been taking time with them, don't think that you got to have, you know, got to have services in the background 24/7. All right. Well, moving right along. That's just meddling. Okay. So, divine love is not based on man's flesh, feelings, or emotions, for it originates with God, not man. It is the essence of God himself. It is him and his flow. Now listen to this. Every movement God makes is a love movement. Every word God speaks is a love word. Every thought of God is a love thought. God is love. There is no separation. Oh my goodness. If people got a hold of this. There is no separation between God and divine love. They are one and the same. God is love. Therefore, when he moves, love moves. When he speaks, love speaks. And again, faith works by what? Love. And that word works is energeo. And it means moves. It means action. It means actually to be energized, working, operative, active. To be at work, to be effectual. Amen. In the Amplified, it says, faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So the love of God is not merely a feeling, but it is a divine force. When his presence is in manifestation, divine love is the atmosphere that can be perceived by others. If a man is to possess this divine love, he must first become a partaker of eternal life. See, then that's what we're talking about, the nature of God. This can only be done by becoming a child of God, being born again. When Adam disobeyed God and sinned, the sin nature, the nature of the devil, came into him. He was no longer in fellowship with God, but was separated from him. So, if you're not walking in love, you need to come back into fellowship with the Lord. That doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. You just need to come back into fellowship with the Lord and say, Father, I just want to emphasize receiving from your love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Father, thank you for what you gave me. And I just soak in that. I just soak in what Jesus did for me. And reading scriptures about what God did for us. Thank you, Lord. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Colossians 3. And this is what we want to get to before we end. But Colossians 3. And let's go to verse 18. I hope this is all right. Did I get off, honey?
No, you're good.
All right. The man says I'm doing good. All right. Thank you, my Lord. We have fun. Okay. It's right. God's not nervous with that. Okay. We're all good. All right. Now, Colossians 18, actually 3, and then verse 18, wives, submit to your own husbands. That's right, Pastor. That's right. Submit. Women just need to submit to their husbands. That's bottom line. If they would submit, then everything would work out in the marriage. Well, let's... How we love and treat our spouse is a strong indicator of how we love and treat the Lord. I'm going to read that again. How we love and treat our spouse is a strong indicator of how we love and treat the Lord. Why? Because part of the explanation for submit in the Greek means a reflexive action. Our love walk or our submission to our husband is a reflex of our love walk to the Lord. How we receive God's love, how we give God love, is how we will love our spouse. Too many of us, and I'll put myself in this, many times we try to love our spouse with human love. Because if we're not meditating in the Word, letting it soak us, sometimes I'll just sit there, you know, in His presence and say, Lord, I'm just receiving Your love. Just receiving Your love. And Lord, I just ask You to wash things out of me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Sometimes I just don't say anything, Lord. And just in the moment, I'm letting Him flow through me. I'm letting Him fill my love bucket up. And as I allow Him to do that, I'm going to be all the more responsive. And it's going to be much more of a reflex reaction if my husband comes in and maybe says something that might have triggered past anger. Because now I'm thinking, you know what? God loved me so much He gave. So I'm going to give in this instance. Maybe my husband isn't reacting like he needs to. Well, you know what? God didn't give Jesus based on my actions. And when my reflex, when I'm looking to God and not the spouse, I'm going to be able to handle the situation in divine love. And, but, you know, it's not, it doesn't help us. It doesn't really help motivate us when we get up here and say, you need to do the Word. Yeah. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Or fire is going to fall down on you. But when you come and you learn about God's love, Jesus gave Himself. He laid His life down on the cross for a man and a woman that did absolutely nothing for Him. Why? Because God is love. And so if I can start when I'm learning what to lay down, anger, anything that's not love. And really, according to Galatians 5, what does it say? Love, faithfulness, which is faith. What? Kindness, goodness, self-control. Yeah, self-control isn't just not eating five pieces of pie. Self-control is buttoning the lip when somebody is saying something to you that's triggering the old man. Let it trigger God's love rather than the old man. But it's only going to trigger the old man if we're not filling the love bucket up. That's why I have to constantly be listening to God's Word. That's why I've got to be constantly feeding on His Word on a daily basis, because the Word is alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's working life in me. And where does life come from? Love. The divine nature in me. And when I'm reading God's Word, it's working me over. Helping. helping me to see. And according to Colossians, all we have to do is back up there. It says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting. What's he talking about?
Yeah.
Seek love. Set your mind on things above. Really, we set our mind, we set our affections on the kingdom of God, which is within us. And that's where love lives. And it says, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication. Okay, you could take that one thing and think, you know what? I used to sleep around. But I'm not going to do that anymore. By faith, I lay it down. Now, Lord, help me. Fill me up. And that's where we get just continuing to bask in his presence, listening to good service CDs by Pastor and by Ma and by Pastor Nancy.
Yes.
Those things that stir up the love within us, we just listen to them over and over and over and over and over and over. And Dad Hagin on YouTube, and I listen to it over. Love is the way to victory. Over and over and over and over. And then, when I'm, you know, and I'm not in fornication, you understand, I'm just in general, if a situation came to me and I used to yield to that, okay, and I haven't, just to let you know, I have not fornicated since I've been married, okay, but yes, I was a fornicator. I did sleep around, I'll admit it. Not all the time, but hey, once or twice is enough. You know what I mean? It's sin is sin. That's the background I came out of. That's the old man. I don't yield to that old man anymore. Therefore, I don't, watching pornography will only make that, it'll bring alive that human love from the past. See, all these things, the only way, you're going to have to put it down by faith. I put it down by faith. All right, let's move on. You're going to have to put down, but really, if you even think about it, you've committed the act. We all done that. Okay, I'm not asking for hands, but we all have, all right? We have fornicated in our minds. Uncleanness, we have to lay it down by faith. See, we're getting the word on the matter, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry, disobedience, whatever. And what we do is, and then you go on down to verse 8, it says, they're put off all these. And when you read that, oh, well, I've been yielding to anger, wrath, malice, woo, woo, filthy language, oh. I tell those in the daycare and on our staff, you know, don't even say the slang words. You might as well just say the actual word. You know, are you going to say fudge? Are you going to? I'm just saying. You're going to say C-R-A-P? Or are you just going to say the S-H-I-T version? Don't do that. What are you doing? You're yielding to the old man. All right. So what the word tells us to lay it down, and then faith that works by love, that's moving by love, lays it down and then puts on the new man. And then you've got to express it. So the word is working in you. That life is working in you to enable you. It's give. Now there's we're gonna stop here, and I know we're going a little longer, but this is a conference, right? This is a conference, so let me, all right, A.B. Simpson in Walking in Love, he said this, the root of the word love is the same as grace. It means that love which comes from heaven and is breathed into the heart by the Holy Spirit. It is not the love of human passion, but the grace of God and the nature of Christ. It is love as a gift and as an inwrought grace of the Holy Spirit. It is the queen of all graces, to which even faith and hope must bow, and before which they will fade away in the glory of eternal love. Why is love the greatest of these? So it's a grace. So by faith, by that grace within, because the kingdom of God is in us, God is love. He lives inside of us. And we say, Father, I'm taking the tool and helping me. And by faith, I'm laying it down by faith. Laying down anger, laying down fornication, laying down wrath, laying down divisions, laying it down, anything that divides in your departments, in your home, you understand? Anything that creates division, anything. Tell your spouse anything. Well, so-and-so just isn't being very nice. So what are you going to do? Go tell somebody else about it and then go tell somebody else and create division? No, I'm just going to go home and stew about it. Oh, that's going to help. That's just the old man. Why don't you pray for that person? Now, it's okay to come talk with Teresa and say, hey, this is going on in my department. But at the same time, I've told Teresa, I said, you know what? It would be such a blessing if the person that came and told you, okay, all of this is going on, would actually come to you and say, you know what? We are having some issues here, but I just chose to pray for them, and I just chose to spend all the more time helping them. In other words, I want to do whatever I can to help them to do better. I want to just give them my time. I just, if somebody's expecting something out of you that you can't give them, you can still walk in love. You can still say to them, you know what? I won't be able to do that, but I'll do my best. I can do this. And if they get mad at you, I guess I'll have to deal with Teresa, right? But when we go home and stew about it, I'm talking about, you know, helps ministry here. Division isn't right. Anger, be angry and sin not, is not right. These things are not right. So did we get to where we needed to go in Colossians? Did we ever get there? All right, real quickly. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. In other words, don't be exasperated. Don't go to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, why'd you give me this woman? All right. Now, praise the Lord. Although submit... Can me, okay, no, that's not it. All right, I'm going to read this. I'm going to stop after this, all right? We've got some things we've got to move on to. A husband and wife's relationship should be an example of Christ in the church. Based on what? God's word. Yes, but what is his word? What in his word is the reason that the church or the Christian would trust God? Because of God's love. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is what energizes us to use our faith or trust and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Faith works is energized through love, agape love. A man shows an unconditional love to the woman he believes he is to marry because Christ unconditionally loved him and gave his life on the cross that he would be saved. The man excitedly enters into the marriage because he has so much love to give. Christ, unconditional love, that will help him to wash his wife with the water of the word and help her to reach her full potential in salvation and life. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? All for God's kingdom. He loves her like Christ loved the church. He dies to self and gives himself to his wife and family to love with the love of Christ, which is to protect and give them everything Christ gave him in salvation. The woman responds to that love and reflexively gives herself to honor, esteem, and love that man like the church loves, honors, and esteems Christ. She dies to self as well and gives herself by faith to love and cherish her husband and family like Christ has loved, cherished, and given himself to her. She should be able to see Christ within her husband and honors him as the church honors Christ. This great exchange of love and reflexive action grows, flourishes, and thrives as long as both the man and woman are taking their rightful places and reflexively walking in the love of God, staying in divine order, and emphasizing their scriptures, so to speak. Why don't you stand up? When we see the man, the husband, with love. When we see our friends with the God kind of love, when we see the people in our departments with love, when we see our pastor with love, if they do something that triggers the old man, which is human love, because we've been focusing on the God kind of love, we're able to respond with divine love. Regardless of how they act, regardless of how they respond, we can respond right. And if we need to, if they go down a road that's not a good road, and we need the wisdom of God, He'll give it to us. How can we save this marriage, Lord? He'll show us how to save that. But I tell you what, a man that's hitting his wife, a man that's putting their wife in a situation that's dangerous, a man that's sitting on the couch at home while the babies don't have milk to drink, and the woman has to work and take care of him, that woman is enabling him. That's not love. I tell people in spiritual guidance, that's what we call it, counseling, whatever you want to say, I tell them, I'm not here to tell you to get a divorce. I'm not going to tell you to get a divorce. I'm going to ask you to work on yourself and do what love would do, the God kind of love, and get so skilled and good at that and just be led in each situation. Be led. If we're able to go by Abraham and Sarah, because that is the best example, that's the divine example. But if one of the spouse refused, because love doesn't fail, but men do. If they refuse, and they're bringing you into a dangerous situation, you're going to have to be led. What would love do? What would love do? Amen. Is that all right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Pura sanguinde, pandora, shetele, poton shendai, etele borst. Kotushta. Amazing love. I know it's true. Come on up, worship team. I don't know all the words, but that song's coming to me, so I want y'all to sing that. Amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be? You, my King, would die for me.
Why don't we just lift our hands to Him and
amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die.